Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
TRE in the afternoon, presented by Hannah Murray.
Good afternoon. It's just gone 5:05. You are listening to Women Talk. With me in the studio today, we have Nicole King, Paloma Salgado and Jan Humpage. Hello.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you all for coming in. If you're listening at home and you'd like to get involved, you can. Here's how.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95.
Now, this first article I've pulled out, I don't think there's a massive amount to talk about. I just thought it was really funny, so I just thought I'd mention it. So, you know, when people die, it's not necessarily normal, but it's a nice thing to kind of have like a plaque in their memory, maybe on a bench or something like that, a nice little tribute. And this, I saw this and it really made me laugh. So there's mystery over this, over a widow's dig at cheating husband. So it's a plaque that's been put on the back of a bench and it says "For my love," and it's got the dates of the birth and the death, and then it says "Husband, father, adulterer. Yes, Roger, I knew."
It's that last line. Yeah, like, yes, Roger, I knew.
Yeah, I just think that's so good.
It's not my Roger.
I hope not. No, it's not your Roger. I hope not, because he's still here. But they're saying that they don't know if it's a joke or not. They don't know if so, because all the people in the area, it's in Bristol, and they're saying they don't know of a Roger who's died recently. So people are wondering whether someone's done it as a weird kind of joke.
Well, that is very weird,
isn't it? Really odd joke to do, but if I want it to be true, because I think that's quite a funny thing to do.
I think it's a great way of just having that last one-upper, the last word.
Exactly, last word. That's just what I thought. So this is a interesting one. This is a controversial one, I think. So this is just in discussion. This isn't necessarily going to happen, but the BBC are in talks about various different changes, ways to get more money, things like that, and they're discussing the possibility of wealthy households that might have to pay more for TV licenses. So I thought this was a fascinating one. I've talked with friends in the past about this, and I always find with this kind of thing that people who don't have a lot of money and wouldn't fall into that wealthy bracket think things like this are a great idea, and people who would fall into the wealthy bracket normally think, no, that's ridiculous, that's unfair, and don't agree with it. What do you think? Things like this, should people who have more money
as of what
be charged more?
As of what amount are we considering being wealthy?
They're not discussing amounts particularly in this, but it's just the idea of in general, because it happens with tax.
Do people still watch television to even need a TV license? With all these Netflixes and YouTube, who wants a TV license?
It's a difficult one, isn't it? Because I mean, if you're not wealthy, you know, and you want to watch television, if it's going to go up, it's going to be expensive, isn't it?
Yeah. So. But what about the idea, just the idea in general of
poppycock?
You don't think that there should be this kind of bracket of wealthy people automatically being charged more for things? No, there should be a standard fee and that's it.
Yeah.
I think maybe it's dependent on what it is we're talking about.
Okay.
And as of what point one is considered to be wealthy.
Yeah. Okay. But TV licenses, everyone should pay the same.
But if you're wealthy, you're paying a lot more tax anyway, aren't you?
Yeah, that's true.
And it can just be included in that whole more tax that you're paying.
Yeah. Mm. Okay. Yeah. Moving on to handbags at dawn. Two customers sue a French fashion brand, the Hermès, after the ban on buying coveted Birkin bags because they weren't deemed worthy. So Birkin handbag is at the centre of a class action lawsuit launched by a pair of disgruntled shoppers who claim the company behind the designer accessory have made it too exclusive. The leather bags cost between £7,000 and £300. £195,000 for a handbag. And basically, these two women went to Bond.
Because sheep people should pay more for their TV license. Yeah.
Yes, if you're spending 400 grand on a handbag.
Pay for a martini,
though. Yes, yeah. I know, absolutely. But, yeah, this is basically the idea of a brand having the right to say to people, no, we're not selling this to you, because they don't deem them the kind of people that they want having their exclusive brand.
Should we think ridiculous,
that's ridiculous, isn't it? Well, I think good luck to them. It's like Rolls Royce, it's a status symbol.
Yeah.
Charge whatever you like.
So you think brands have the right to say, no, we're not selling this to you?
I think if someone has the 300,000 to buy the bag, that they should be allowed to buy it. But if you don't have that money for the bag, then you don't have the bag.
And if the company gets away with it, and if there's people who will queue up and, you know, wait to have that bag, and, you know, let them get on with it.
But it's the fact that these women could afford the bag.
Oh, they just said that they don't like them, like...
Yeah, they don't want them to have their bag.
Oh, I missed that. Well, then...
It's not fair.
Then that I don't think is right, because that's discrimination, and if you have the amount to buy it, unless set out in their... You know, like their statutes,
it's conditions.
We have the right to say you're not classy enough for our bag.
Unless you buy all those other products as well.
I've actually heard that come up, which I never even thought about. First time, reference to Meghan Markle and a brand saying that they didn't want her wearing their clothes because that the prices had gone down because she wore it so badly or something like that.
Awful.
Yeah, that was the first time I've heard, like, we don't want you wearing our brand because you're not a good promoter for our brand.
They've obviously got plenty of money if they can stop people from buying their
shoes.
imagine. But it does. It does keep that kind of exclusivity about it, and they obviously can afford to turn people away if they're charging 400 grand for a handbag. Yeah. But even how does one put a price on a handbag? How much is too much?
Ridiculous, isn't it?
I don't know. I think
it's all relative.
It's all relative. I was hearing, what was it, Will Smith or one of these actors was saying that when you've got it all and you've got enough money to buy it all 1,000 times over, where do you go from there? Mm-hmm. So I think there are certain things in the world that are just made for people who are just that overly, in, you know, can indulge in anything to give them something fun to do.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's the idea, like, that when they do it with food as well, when they have, like, the world's most expensive burger and it's, like, got gold leaf on it and it costs 2.5 grand, things like that. You think, for a burger?
Yeah, but it's just obviously for those people that just...
have so much money.
They have so much money, they have to have something to just excite them and...
Yes.
And they're bored. And they don't know what to do with it. And they don't know what the next thing is.
Yeah. Too much of anything obviously can be a problem.
Yes. Poor them. okay. Coco Chanel may have been right when she said, if you're sad, add more lipstick. A study has found that wearing makeup can have a marked effect on improving women's mood and even help with maintaining good mental health. Researchers recruited 240 volunteers who did not normally wear makeup, asking half to slap it on 3 or more times a week, while the rest went without. They found that those wearing makeup saw symptoms of depression drop significantly, stress levels halve, and self-esteem soar.
Oh, well, that's where it's all gone wrong, then.
Yeah, I think it's wrong to kind of say that, to make out that if you wear makeup, you'll be happier.
Was it Lancome or L'Oreal who started this?
Yes, quite. I can't say it. It doesn't actually say that.
Well, there you go.
That it was done by a specific makeup brand. But, well, how do we feel about makeup, and what can you relate to that?
Oh, I think I'm going to have to start upping my game then, obviously.
I don't really wear makeup either.
I think it makes you feel better if you look good when you look in the mirror.
Yeah. So it makes a difference to you?
Yes, definitely, yeah.
Nicole?
I remember after having kids, my mother saying, just get up, get yourself dressed, get yourself looking good and you'll feel better. And it was true. Not necessarily slapping on makeup, but the sect of actually putting oneself together and taking a bit of care and presentation, that definitely made a difference.
Yeah, I mean, I don't wear a lot of makeup. I think I've sort of started to wear a bit more in recent years, but I don't always wear I don't wear makeup every day. You know, I'm not one of those that needs to put makeup on to leave the house. I'm not wearing any now, for example, and so I can go to work comfortably without makeup. I can walk around the town, go shopping, go to the supermarket. I can do all of that without, you know, I've got lots of friends who would never do any of those things. You know, wouldn't leave the house, which is fine. Everybody's different,
but it shouldn't be necessary.
No,
to be presentable, tidy, and nice is one thing, but to have to wear paint in order to be presentable, I think, is, as you were saying before, Blum, it's a sign of the times, not a good sign.
And I just find I've been wearing less and less and less and less often makeup, and now it's really just for when you go out or when there's something special, because, you know, otherwise it's more like, what are, you know, other people going to say if you really don't wear makeup? If you are you going to be feeling left, really, like the poor relative?
Never.
The model who showed up at the Oscars or something without makeup, or was it Pamela Anderson? And that was great because it was the Fashion Awards, and she actually
pulled a real statement.
Yeah, here I am.
Yeah,
that was fabulous.
Yeah, I like that. Okay, we better take a break.
Hannah Murray on TRE in the afternoon.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Women Talk. With me in the studio today, we have Nicole King, Paloma Salgado and Jan Humpage. There was an article here with a full page article with Mr. Motivator in the middle in his Lycra all-in-one suit, reminding me from daytime television in the 80s. And the headline is, that, which is his headline, he says, "Why is it body shaming to tell someone they're fat when it's for their own good?" He says that exercise is the answer to Britain's ills. He says, "In Britain today, we have to be so careful about what we say so as not to cause offence. But when it comes to weight, what is our silence doing to the nation's health? There is an obesity and diabetes crisis in Britain, and even if it ruffles a few feathers, someone has to call it out. When I started my career as a fitness instructor in the UK in 1983, it was perfectly okay to prod someone in the belly and tell them to lose a bit of weight. You'd never dare to do that today." Interesting, I thought.
No, it is fascinating.
I mean, was that acceptable in the 80s? I don't remember. Like,
people did that
a lot more.
Yeah, it was, "Oh, you look great. You've lost weight." It was all, it was very encouraged. But then now, would it be okay if, you know, someone is too skinny, way too skinny? Would you think, you know, would you think twice about it, about telling them?
Put on some weight.
Yeah.
Or I suppose it works both ways.
Yeah.
Be such a big deal.
I would never say to someone that I really wouldn't. I wouldn't tell someone that they need to lose weight.
And how are we anyway to tell them unless you're a specialised doctor, dietitian?
Well, exactly.
Where would it be even our point to have our position to have an opinion?
Exactly.
We're way too judgmental as a species.
Yeah.
As if our opinions.
Yeah. That's the best thing. I don't mean to judge, but
I mean, does it make a difference if it's a close friend or family member?
I think you were probably less likely to say.
It's a tough one. I remember coming down from Madrid and to see my family, my mum and that, in the summer, and we'd come down and everything. And there were times that my mum would give me a little prod of like, putting on a little weight there, Nicole, you know, getting
in, and I can't imagine anyone saying that of you.
And I've had my voluptuous moments. More voluptuous moments in my life. And I do remember being very upset with her saying it.
Right.
But then I took it with me, and if your mum's not going to tell you, who is, basically.
Exactly. And so you might be upset at the time, but then you have a think and you realise the only reason they're saying that is because they care about you and all
exactly.
that.
Exactly. And I had a very heavy brother and there were a lot of comments like, you don't want to be like your
brother. Those comparisons.
But at the same time, yes, I think there are moments when if you know a person is, like, I'm small, and if you're carrying weight, that actually I did begin to realise...
Can be more visible sometimes.
Not only the visible, but for personally, like, if you're lying flat, it's harder to breathe if you're heavier.
Okay.
And I've never been that heavy. I've never been obese or like, you know, 52 kilos instead of 49. Never been an obese as such. However, I do remember that when you're lying flat, when I was that little bit more overweight, I found it harder to breathe.
Yeah, but I think the line is the health, isn't
it? Yeah, exactly.
That's the only, when it starts getting unhealthy.
Yeah.
And you worry, I mean, but then would you still say it?
Again, I think maybe mother to child, father to that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Very close friends saying, like, I don't know, it's a tough one.
I don't think I'd say it to a friend.
No.
Yeah, no.
No, I'm not sure. I don't think I'd say it to
a
friend.
No, I don't think I would either, actually, because it's not our business unless you suddenly see they can't breathe or there's things happening or something.
Yeah.
Walk or thing. Maybe you should consider something now that you can't walk or breathe or
why do you think you can't breathe? Like, I think the best thing is always to get to the person coming to their own conclusion.
Yeah.
As opposed to, like, so it's their idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Say to them, when did this start? You know, have you always had trouble walking, always had trouble breathing, or did you used to be better? Or, you know, just kind of as if you're just asking them. Absolutely. That
but I think
sense.
You can crush people without realising it. And I think a lot of time people do know that they either want to lose weight or they need to do more exercise. And then to have someone saying it can actually be more of a defeatist approach. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, take the wind out your sails as opposed to encouragement.
Want to encourage.
Yeah, I think it's better to sort of suggest that they get fit rather than say you're fat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or suggest that they join you in something. Why don't we go for a walk?
That's
why don't
right.
we go to a class together?
Started doing this. Would you like to join me with no reference that you're obese and you can't breathe?
Yes, exactly. I'm doing this
because I enjoy your company.
I went for a walk the other day. It was beautiful. You should come. Let's go together. It's great fun. We can stop for a coffee, you know, whatever.
But then there's people who would say that, but why do you have to be so careful in what you say? Why can't you just say, like the article says,
some people would. I think that's obviously down to personality. Mm. I think stuff like that's very difficult to decide whether it's right or wrong. It's okay, it's not okay. I think we must all, you know, have friends that are more direct than others. And others that would say, you know, oh, you look, I don't know, maybe even in a positive way as well. Friends that are more complimentary in others, friends that are more likely to say, oh, you always look great in pink, or oh, I love your hair today, or whatever. And other friends never normally say stuff like that, which is fine. Just some people are more kind of direct with their opinions, positive or negative, and some aren't.
But at the end of the day, it is, as you say, an opinion.
Yeah.
So someone might like really fit people and they have to be that way, and yet somebody else might be one of these chubby chasers, I think they call them, in the sense of they prefer someone better, and you're happier in, if you're happy in your own skin and you're breathing, moving.
Yeah. As long as it doesn't affect your health.
Yeah, exactly, that's the thing. There'll be plenty of people who are overweight, maybe even obese, and are perfectly happy being that way. So if you were to say, why didn't you go for a walk? Why didn't you? That it could ruin friendships and relationships if they think, well, I don't
I've
want to.
I've already been for a walk, thank you.
Yes, exactly. I've been for a walk. I'm quite happy the way I am. Who are you to tell me I need to be any different? So, yeah, I do think one should be careful before offending someone. But if it's coming from a good place. Don't. Best not to, I think. Yeah. Okay, we better take another break.
Hannah Murray. TRE in the afternoon.
Good afternoon. You are listening to Women Talk with me in the studio today, Nicole King, Paloma Salgado and Jan Humpage. TMI, too much information. Britain is a nation of indiscreet chatterboxes who offer too much information about their private lives to friends and colleagues. This is according to a new poll. A fifth of people are on the receiving end of confessions they would prefer not to have heard. Offering too much information, known as TMI, often happens at work, with one in five saying they are exposed to unwelcome details about the health, finance and sex lives of colleagues every day. So do you feel like you hear TMI sometimes? Are you guilty of giving off to TMI?
No, definitely not giving off.
Okay.
I think more the contrary, but listening to hearing, yeah, definitely.
Really? And do you think it does tend to happen more in a work situation or with friends or
Yes, I think in work maybe, when you sort of, that sort of pauses of, you know, if we were sitting in the same office and not particularly interested by the whatever's in the computer.
Yeah.
And then oversharing, and probably more between women.
Yes.
Definitely more between women, yes.
Mm. I find it intriguing whenever I'm sitting somewhere in the Paseo or in a restaurant about the overhearing what they're TMIing and the conversations that you overhear and the points of view and the... It's just amazing, the things that you can hear.
It is fascinating, isn't it?
I find it amazing how much people find to talk about.
It doesn't mean it's all true, though.
No, that's true as well, yeah.
I would say probably 80% isn't, because that's a lot of actually the conversations when you hear people promoting themselves or what they do or where they live or Marbella. And it's just, it's interesting to see the liberties and the lengths that a thread of truth may have when it's presented as a promoter.
Yes, absolutely.
And the amount of detail that people go into.
But that's that thing when you say to people, how are you? Then you've either got the people who say, fine, thank you, which is, I think, what most of us expect to hear and would be enough.
Yeah.
But there are people, when you're doing that courtesy, hi, how are you? Well, you know something. And when I say to be honest, as if I would want you to lie. Why are you saying to be honest? Are you normally not honest? That one really gets me. To be honest.
Yeah.
And then you get this full details of exactly what, where, when. Now, if it's an older person, then I think, well, they probably don't get that much opportunity to talk to people. And so anyone they can latch onto, they're going to have that moment to chat. Mm. So I think it depends on the person and the age and circumstance, but yes.
I think we shouldn't say, how are you, as an automatic question if we don't want an answer.
Right, because 90% of us don't want an answer.
Yeah.
But we just still say it.
Then just say hi.
But it's just become such an automatic thing to say.
When it is. It's so easy. Hi, how are you?
Yeah.
But you can
stop, I want to tell you.
I've got time to listen. That's true. In terms of giving out too much information, I think I used to do it a lot more than I do now. I think I enjoy talking, I enjoy chatting, I enjoy sharing information, but I think I talked a bit more about my, I wouldn't say private life necessarily, but a bit more about what was going on in my life, maybe more so than I do now, a little bit.
I used to explain everything because I felt I had to justify hook, line and sinker every single move thing I did.
Right.
And I'm trying to unprogram myself. But I was thinking actually the other day when you and I were sitting in the morning before going on to the show, and I shared an awful lot then that perhaps wasn't necessary. But really, I think I overshared my thoughts and my plans. It's like those moments that you're kind of working it out yourself in your head, and that
and it depends
saying it out loud, it kind of helps. But it was oversharing.
Yeah. I think it depends on who you're talking to as well.
Well, exactly.
Yeah,
that's
because
the thing.
If they look as though they're interested, did you give more, don't you?
Mm. Exactly. It's knowing your audience. There should be people who you're comfortable sharing things with, and it's normal to share things with, and they share back, and you have that kind of relationship. Yeah. And then people that you wouldn't necessarily share things with.
No, I can share everything with you, can't I?
Yeah, of course you can, Jen.
Oh, I'm a very shareable person, so I'm excuse them, because it was with Hannah I was over sharing.
There you go.
This is where the sharing was going.
I have that thing about me then, for people to overshare. No, not you can't overshare, not at all. This was a fascinating article. The headline reads, "Why You Should Never Set Out to Marry a Rich Man." And the woman who wrote the article says, "I know, because I live in a world full of wives who wish they hadn't." And there's lots of things I kind of was picking out of the article. Marrying for money alone simply doesn't guarantee happiness. I should know, because I live my life among women who have done it. A woman who marries rich can lose her own identity and become just another part of her husband's entourage instead. I've known women whose husbands have given them £10,000 a week spending money.
Well, let's think about that again then.
I have to say that there are, even if you're married someone who's not rich, you can still have that happen to you, so better off have the money. Unless you've got the money.
Brilliant. But would it make a difference, do you think, you know, in looking for a partner? This is a fascinating point of discussion, I think. And would it have made a difference at different points in your life as to the person that you're looking for? Would you want them to have money? Would that be something on your list? You know, of tall, dark, handsome, wealthy, you know, would it be there?
At this stage of my life, it would be. Otherwise, why bother? Exceedingly happy as I am, there had to be something. And also that thought of having the man baby that you have to look after. So isn't it better to have someone that you know is self, not necessarily to look after me, but at least know they can look after themselves.
Yes. That's already, I get that. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's very different for me because I met Roger when I was 15. So, so it was just a matter of going for the handsome look and the, you know,
fun.
I hope he's listening.
I'm sure he is. Paloma?
No, I think it's more, don't know so much about the money, but about the capacity to be able to either make the money in the future, depending what age you are in your life, or when to be able to take care of yourself and of a family, or even do it together with your partner or wife or husband or whatever. But I think it's more about the mindset and the capacity to be able to, even though you don't have the money right now, but if you can see that little glint in their eye and say, oh, yeah, he's a good one, he'll be able to.
Someone with a bit of ambition. As opposed to someone who's a nice person
who's, you know, wants to do well in life.
Yeah. I think that must be a real turn off if you were with someone who, was really, really lazy and just had no drive to do anything at all and just wanted to kind of sit on the sofa drinking beer, watching telly, kind of felt like they had no purpose, no reason to be doing anything. I mean, that would be hard work, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yep. Out the window.
Okay. We have a piece about children, Gen Z, Generation Z. The person who wrote this article is anonymous. They didn't want to put their name to it. She said, yes, I mean my grandkids are the rudest ever. And she tells a story, which I'll read out. As a case in point, my eldest grandson, aged 23, contacted me a couple of weeks ago to ask if he could come to lunch on Sunday. We get on well and have always had interesting conversations. So I said, yes, I'd be delighted. Could he confirm? And I'll book a nearby restaurant. I hadn't seen or heard from him since Christmas, so I was thrilled that he got in touch of his own accord. I heard no more from him, so on the appointed day I messaged him three ways, by email, text and phone. No reply. Should I start cooking, book the restaurant or what? 12 o'clock came, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, nothing. No grandson, no messages. Finally, at 8 p.m. and after prompting by his father, I had a brief text saying that he was out late the night before and sorry that he didn't let me know that he wouldn't be coming. That meant a whole day ruined as far as I was concerned. Don't I matter? Don't I count? It appears not.
Bastard!
Say it how it is.
Exactly. Just express yourself.
Yeah. Isn't that awful?
One word. And it's not just the one day. It's the whole... You know, it's what she says. I haven't heard. Yeah, exactly. Since Christmas.
Yeah.
And the planning and the looking forward. That's the worst. It gives me...
Yeah.
Very selfish.
But my question is it wholeheartedly his fault or is it the way he was raised?
I don't know what to say there.
Oh, I do.
I don't know. Well, I know it's easy to say, but at the same time, I think you can do the right things. It doesn't mean to say that when they become independent, that they actually pay attention necessary at certain ages. I think there are certain ages, say 17 to 25, that is kind of like a very selfish, not really empathetic era, I think, in our lives.
I think the parents have got to make sure that their children realise that grandparents need attention, don't they?
Yeah.
Because it's very important.
Definitely.
You know, I feel that.
I can honestly say, whatever age I've been and whatever I've gone through, I would never have done that. And I... I honestly put that down to the way I was raised, I just would never think, oh, never, you know, never mind about grammar, you know, who cares? Or just that complete disrespect of not letting someone know. I mean, not just a grandparent, a human being, but particularly a loved one should be extra important. Yeah. But even if it was a friend you were supposed to be meeting, like, to just not turn up and not let
them know. It might have been a one-off.
I think that too, Jen. I think it's more of a one-off as opposed to a Gen Z. Okay. I think to generalise, just like that child is particularly out of order.
And maybe the fact that the dad was the one who wrote the message apologising, not even himself, or that even though he's, 23, 25?
Yeah, 23.
He wasn't made to write the message himself and to grovel.
Yeah, exactly.
I think
father
has a lot to say about how he was brought up and what he was allowed to get away with.
I thought that, absolutely. Instead of being the father making him write the message and, you know, turn up with some flowers arrange another lunch
But I think it just says a lot about that, you know, like it's a generalisation, but the generation as a whole, like, you just have too much, too early, too quickly, and are not given the chance to appreciate.
Difficult for them too. There's too much information, I think, sometimes just, for them to process.
There's too much around. There's too much of everything around. And there's not that sense of, you know, a little bit less, and that things need to be a little bit tougher, a little bit harder for them to appreciate.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, one more ad break I think we got.
Hannah Murray, TRE in the afternoon.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the last part of Women Talk. It's just coming up to 6:15. With me in the studio today, Nicole King, Paloma Salgado and Jan Humpage. So, this article says the end of family viewing. The young prefer YouTube to TV with the parents. Settling down on the sofas to watch a primetime drama or classic movie with the family has been a cherished British tradition for decades. But such happy nights are becoming a thing of the past as the young increasingly look at videos on their phones rather than television with their parents. I think that's sad.
Very sad. They won't need a license, will they?
That's true. But family time, isn't family time like a kind of thing? Shouldn't it be a cherished thing in every household?
Definitely.
Well, if you're watching television, you're not actually interacting anyway, are you?
That's true.
Well, not in the old days. We had a Eurovision Song Contest. It's a knockout. There were like family shows that one would watch together and like discuss as it was happening, kind of thing, wasn't it?
But I mean, when you go to restaurants,
Generation Game, and
it
was very much an interactive.
They were called family programs.
Very much interactive thing. I think it's a big shame.
I do.
Except
because it's that savings on the TV license.
But I mean, when you go out to restaurants, all the kids are just on their phones all the time, aren't they? It's terrible.
But don't
nobody talks to each other.
And the parents.
Yeah, checking their phone and not...
And it doesn't help that the menus nowadays are QR codes that you have to take out your phone in the first place just to even see the menu.
I hate that. I really hate that. Because I say this all the time when we talk about it on the show, but I always feel the need when my husband and I are out having dinner to kind of say to people, we do have something to talk about, we're just looking at the menu. Because we're both sitting there on our phones looking at the menu, and you can see people around the restaurant going, oh, they've got nothing to say to each other anymore. And I'm like, no, we're just looking at the menu. We're fine.
But the need to say that.
Yeah, it's horrible. Exactly. So, how do you kind of compare things to now, either to when you brought up children compared to when you were brought up yourself, and how things changed in the kind of family home and family unit with regards to family time? Do you notice a difference?
I see now with my grandkids, they spend a lot of time watching, but they're tiny, watching television. Not a lot of time, because they do a lot of arts and crafts and playing. But I do see that's like an immersive experience as a family, and they make it with the popcorn and they make fun of it, so it is an interactive. And then my kids, I suppose until they left home, it was something we would do more together. But nowadays, I definitely think it's a YouTube-driven world for them. And it's like each person can follow their own interests so specifically to cater to their own tastes.
And so individually. No, I'm just so glad that I had my kids when I had, like, you know, 13, 25 years ago, and that I didn't have to worry about them having a phone or having to say no at the dinner table to have their phone, and that there was always only one TV in the whole house. And yeah, that was just so much easier.
I think it's really easy for everybody to judge today, you know, to judge youngsters with the gadgets and everything, but you know, because we didn't have it available to us. But imagine if we did, you know, would we have been any different? You know, it's easy to kind of go, oh, they will, all they care about is their phones and computers and everything. But it's only because we didn't have it. I'm sure. You know, who's to say we'd be any different at all?
I'm just so grateful there wasn't phones and cameras when we were younger. Oh, my Lord.
Imagine.
I certainly wouldn't be on the telly now.
That's a scary thought, isn't it?
How would you manage without Google?
No, it's true, but we use it so often, don't we? I mean, literally on a daily basis. And not even just for... I mean, I use it for work, but even...
But everything.
Yeah.
Anything you hear. Do you know... No, I don't know. Let me have a look.
What was the name of that guy who was on that... Oh, let me have a look. you just look it up. It's just so quick and easy, isn't it? What an invention. Mr. Google. So there's an article here that I keep referring to when we run out of articles, basically, that's called Things That Millennials Refuse to Buy, because there's lots of different interesting subjects here that are good discussion points, I feel. One of them is talking about shopping online. They're saying that a lot of millennials refuse to shop online because they're a lot more kind of connected to... what are they called? Just like shop. So I'm talking about shop, like not big stores, like individual shops. Yeah. They want to support local businesses.
Like the high street.
There's hardly any high street left, though.
No.
It's shocking.
It is.
Absolutely terrifying.
If you go around Marbella, which is, you know, in the old town, all these signs for sale, for rent, closing down.
The main high street, Ricardo Soriano. And, but then when you think back, the little things I see back in the UK, I think it's even worse. I think it's worse in the UK than it is in Spain. Where the amount of shops that are just empty high streets, just completely boarded up.
Yeah, it's definitely worse in England,
I can't understand why people buy clothes online, because I like to try things on.
Yeah,
I've
done it a few times. Each time I do it, I think I'm not going to do this again, because whenever I've done it, up until recently, they haven't fit properly, and then you've had the issue of having to send it back, and it's a hassle, and it ends up costing you more money.
Unless you know the brand, and you know what size you are in that brand, and you know how that top fits in that brand.
But I've done it a few times recently, and it was perfect.
Was it from a particular, like, supplier that you got, like, more trustworthy?
No, it was just various friends had used it and said it was really good, so I thought I'd give it a go, and, yeah, and it worked.
Oh, that's funny, because I was hearing, I don't know what to say your name was, but the Temu, which is an online thing, but in Spanish, Temu means to rip someone off. So I was wondering if they were actually just being facetious, like, we're telling you we are ripping you off. The fact that you just are... listening, but it's actually called Timo, and Timo is a thing
called differently. But yeah, it could sound, it could lead to.
That's what I thought, seeing all the stories about people being upset with their purchases.
Have you seen those Smeg kettles up for sale for €2 something?
Where? Are they real Smeg?
Oh, but they can't be real.
No, but it looks real.
Too good to be true, Jan.
I'm not
click on it. Don't click on it. No, but it's true. It's so easy to with these things online. It will be. Maybe you've been talking about it or talking about kitchen stuff, and then these things come up. That's what happens. I remember looking when I was looking for a pair of trainers once, and then suddenly all these adverts were coming up for top trainers. Only €25, only €14.99. I was like, how are they so cheap? And I thought, I'm not even going to click on that, because there's no way that they're real and reputable. You're going to give your money to some random site. Like, don't. Unless you know the site and you... Yeah. always do research before giving your credit card details and always buying things into. Online. I always do a lot of research, kind of search. Put in the word fraud and put in the word experiences, reviews. So the name of the site followed by the word reviews, things like that, to see what experiences other people have had. Well worth doing.
We're all going to have kettle adverts tonight on our phones.
Yes.
Now that is scary.
It is scary.
That is scary because without even just talking about it in general, you get back and suddenly bombarded with exactly that.
Yeah, they're listening. What about the suit or T-shirt? So this one says, you rarely see CEO Mark Zuckerberg in a full suit unless he's being questioned by Congress. Instead, a plain T-shirt with suit trousers, though. So instead of wearing a shirt, it's become a lot more kind of fashionable to wear. And I've seen men with, like, white shoes, white trainers. And a suit, but with a T-shirt underneath instead of a shirt.
Sort of combining the two.
Yeah, I quite like it.
Dressed up, but you casual.
Like you like it,
but I quite like it, yeah.
My advice started doing that, didn't they? They were wearing suits and T-shirts underneath.
And some of the actors, I think, in the Oscars or somewhere as well, they started wearing trainers and with suits and with...
It's amazing now. If anybody's wearing a suit, I think he must be a lawyer or a solicitor.
Yeah.
Especially down here, it's like, what role are you pretending to be? It's 100 degrees in the shade. What are you doing in a suit and a dye in a shirt?
Real estate.
Yeah.
Working it. Wherever you're they're working it.
And then Roger's not got any ties left now.
No, got rid of them all. What about doorbells? So doorbells seem to have, like, disappeared. Everyone, when I was growing up, everyone had a doorbell. Yeah. Sometimes you'd get a fun one that played a tune. But these days, who has doorbells?
The Big Ben doorbell.
Well, we've got a doorbell.
You've got a doorbell?
I think they exist, but does anyone actually ever press it?
Yeah.
Yeah? Did you install it?
No, it was already there.
Okay, interesting. Have you got one, Nicole?
I do have a doorbell, but no one ever uses it. And I know that if I go to my daughter's house, my little granddaughter jumps out her skin whenever she hears the doorbell.
Oh, really?
She finds it quite terrifying.
Have you got one?
Yeah, I've got one. It came with the house, so I've got one. Yeah. But yeah, people do tend to say, I'll be there in 5 minutes.
Yeah,
and you sort of go to the door and wait
or
for 20
message.
Minutes.
I just tend to have a message outside, here.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it?
Yep.
Whereas back in the day, it was all about the doorbell. I remember at Christmas, my grandfather, they had a doorbell, and at Christmas, they change it to a Christmas tune.
Ah.
So when you come, you press the doorbell, and then you'd get a little Christmas carol.
I like the doorbell. Get terrified every time it rings. I think, who's here? I'm not expecting anybody.
Yeah.
It's actually kind of a scary experience. Why is someone making my bell?
It's a hole in your door, so you can
change it. I beat in for it.
It's true, because people don't press it as much. So when they do, you're like, who's that? Who could that be? You're kind of on tenterhooks as opposed to, someone's at the door. It's who's
nice.
At the door?
Yeah.
It's a negative thing, which it shouldn't be, but for some reason. Home phones, landline phones.
The what? Sorry, what?
Landline. You don't have a landline?
No, only firm, what is it? For the router, Wi-Fi.
Okay.
No.
So
I haven't had for a long time.
No.
I'm sure there's a phone number associated to it. No, to the land.
20 years ago,
router.
You couldn't buy anything or rent anything or do anything if you didn't have a fixed phone number.
Yeah.
And yet, from that moment to now, when who has a landline except it comes with your Wi-Fi for the house? But who knows the number or got anything connected to it?
No, that's true. I'm trying to work out when we got rid of it. It was only a few years ago, to be honest, about 3 years ago. Because you now don't need the landline, because we were paying for it and we stopped paying for it because we weren't using it.
Yeah.
So it is possible to kind of have the Wi-Fi
actually,
and whatever.
Maybe I don't have a landline then. Maybe now you don't.
We don't.
You've got a landline at the office.
Yeah. Yeah, with businesses, I think it's different. But at home, so many people don't now.
Nope.
When I'm arranging interviews with people, because I hate doing interviews on mobile because they're just not as
quality.
Reliable. People always say they're just as reliable, but they're not. I mean, it happens so often that you just never know. Sometimes they'll be fine, but it's just not worth the risk. So I'll say, do you have a landline? No, who has a landline?
Yeah.
So many people don't.
Mm.
It's strange how much that's changed, I think.
Yeah.
So apparently, according to young people, designer clothes are out of style. They're not so bothered about designer, which is fascinating.
Daughters would definitely say that, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. No, my daughters.
How old are your daughters?
So one is 27, the other one's 18, especially the 27-year-old. I think it's only second-hand shops. And
love that.
She lives in Barcelona, so there's a lot of choice. Yeah. But,
so you'd think at that age is when they're, you know, really starting to be bothered about...
No, definitely not there. But then maybe she's a special... I mean, there's a jumper I keep trying to get rid of every time she comes. No, I still can't manage to get rid of that 10-year-old jumper.
I love that. Yeah. So were you more bothered about designer clothes, do you think?
I don't know about designer, but maybe a bit more mindful about holes in my clothes or and I think like maybe 20, 30 years ago, designer clothes were like still really, really special and not as accessible as now.
Jan, thoughts?
I think that clothes are well made and you probably paid a bit more for them. I don't know about designer, but I've got a coat that I've had for, 30, 40 years that's still really good. So that is
worth, a big difference.
It's worth having.
The quality does make a difference and it lasts. Like the quality things I bought, like BK Before Kids, when I actually spent money on myself as things, but I still wear them.
But
anything I bought in Zara or anywhere else or Primark, it's like, you know, a couple of weeks, two washes and...
No, and it's gone.
And it's gone.
Yeah.
But they were made to last.
Like you get what you pay for. Fridges, they used to be made to last. Now they build them to break.
Well, same with phones. Phones, computers and things,
after
they're not
the guarantee
to...
runs out.
Programmed.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's worrying, isn't it?
My iPad battery's not gone down. Really bad.
That is bad. Okay, we are coming to the end of the programme. Ladies, thank you all very much for coming in today. Thank you to Nicole King, Paloma Salgado and Jan Humpage. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
And Howard Brereton is coming up after the news with Spain Today, so don't go away. That's it for me for this week, because I'm not here tomorrow. So have a good weekend when you get to it. I will be back on Monday at 4 o'clock. Selena will be with you on Sunday, your Sunday selection from 11. A great weekend of programming. Don't forget the book show tonight at 7 o'clock, repeated on Saturday at 8. Have a good one. See you Monday.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this program, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.